Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the ALS Association podcast. My name is Tony Heil, the Director of Communications and Public Policy here at the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter. Like I said, those titles include both communications, which we do with the podcast, and public policy, otherwise known as advocacy, which is what we're going to talk about today with our guest, Melissa Call, social worker with the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter, and our good friends, Steve and Charlotte Potter. And we're here at their home in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Before we start, you can learn more about advocacy and get involved at www.alsa.org/advocacy. You can get involved on a state and local level and national level by emailing me, tony@alsphiladelphia.org. And if you're a person with ALS, we encourage you to talk to your doctors and social workers and anyone at the ALS Association at any chapter. At your clinic visits or by email or phone or text or really any way you want. As always, you can find the ALS Association on every social media channel from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram and YouTube and more at ALS Philadelphia. So like I said, today our guests are Steve and Charlotte Potter. Steve is living with ALS and has been for a few years now. And Steve and his wife Charlotte have been involved with advocacy in Washington, D.C. for quite a long time, and they're going to give their perspective today, along with Melissa, who is a social worker and has done a lot of great work, obviously, with the ALS Association in her work, and also with advocacy in every way possible. So thanks, everyone, for joining us.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Tony.
So before we get into the advocacy part, which is what we're going to talk about today, tell me a little bit about yourselves, Steve and Charlotte, like both in terms of how long you've been living with ALS, and because you've both been living with ALS, even though only one of you is diagnosed, and you know how you came to participate in advocacy.
Well, I was first diagnosed with ALS 7 years ago, and this year will actually be our seventh year going to advocacy in Washington. So the first year we didn't go. I was only a month or two after I was diagnosed, and we didn't really know what it was about. Mm-hmm. But as we met some people that had been there, we were actually inspired by some people who go to our support group who advocated. Mm-hmm. And we realized it was a very, very important thing to help the patients who can't go, to help the patients who are sick now and patients in the future, too. And we do it to honor those who can no longer go or no longer with us.
That's pretty inspiring. And Charlotte, you got the same out of it then?
Yes. I think it was the very first time we went to our support group. We didn't meet this woman, Sally, but we heard about her. And she had just been in Washington and gave a speech, which I didn't realize at the time the entire speech was done on the computer because she could no longer speak. And that kind of just blew me away. It's like, wow, if she can do that in her condition, the very least we can do is go to Washington and make our voices heard. And we've been inspired by a few other patients too, but she was my first inspiration on that.
And had you ever done anything like advocacy before?
I never had a cause like ALS before. I never done anything like that.
No, I don't think either of us had. I mean, you know, everybody's got their cause when you know somebody who has cancer or, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. But once you're living with the disease, it's like a whole other ballgame, you know.
And I think that's probably most people like that started with ALS advocacy. They are good people, but they have their own lives. They never decided to go to Washington before. Mm-hmm. That's quite a leap to make, right?
Yeah, I think they all go because they really care. Care about somebody, mm-hmm. or care about someone who cares about somebody. Mm-hmm. It's very, very personal.
Yeah. And so, Melissa, you didn't get involved with advocacy in any way until you got here too, right? And so, like, you were always a lobbyist.
Exactly. I don't think I was in Washington, D.C. since I was a kid in school until I went with the ALS Association. And I've been with the chapter for 6 years, and I've been every year but 1 year I wasn't able to for family obligations. And it's funny when you just shared your story about the woman that inspired you, Sally, from your support group. I'm pretty sure that it was that woman's college-age children my first year going to advocacy, and Sally was no longer with us, mm-hmm. and they came on her behalf to continue to be a voice for her, because I remember them speaking about how their mom was there, and so here they were. I think the daughter wasn't even 21 yet, and yeah. they spoke from the heart, and they were heard. It was so powerful. So I think you get inspired to go, and when you're there, you're so inspired by everyone coming. I mean, for us coming from Philadelphia, it's a train ride away to get to D.C., right. and there are people from all over the nation, from Hawaii, Alaska, that make it there. It's right. very inspiring. And people that come with a lot of challenges to get there and even navigate up on the hill for the day on the hill,
yeah.
they make it happen.
Yeah, it's always cool to me to see people from across the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that just like you got a lot from the support group of maybe a dozen people or so at a time, mm-hmm. seeing people from across the country has got to be a cool bonding experience.
Oh, it really and truly mm-hmm. is.
It's amazing. We've met so many people.
And I would guess, like me, that going now for you guys 7 years and me 6 years, there are people now that I know from going yeah. to advocacy, and you see them every year. It's only once a year to see them, but you feel like you've connected.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
and
a bond between
look forward to seeing them each year.
Yeah, it's great.
And like you said, you've been doing this for 7 years, Melissa for 6. So while Melissa's on staff, you're the one that can tell her what to do. not that Melissa hasn't done a lot, and she helps set up a lot of our meetings and get people prepared, but you guys have been doing it so long that you can train others, just like people had gotten you involved, you can help others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What I've noticed this year in particular, that you guys have had a big impact in Washington, and you've met with members of Congress, like Congressman Gerlach, who used to be the congressman here,
right.
And others, and you also have met with staff. I think right. a lot of people that go to D.C. and think, oh, well, you know, we need to meet with the congressman because the staff isn't that important, but this year we found out that the new congressman, he signed on to one of our letters because the staff person had met with you.
Oh, good.
So tell us what it's like meeting the people in Washington, and because you don't get an immediate response right away.
No, that's true.
But you know you're making a difference in the long run.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely know. I mean, they seem really genuinely interested in everybody's stories, not mm-hmm. just the patients, but the caregivers, the spouses who have lost, mm-hmm. you know, their spouse or any family member.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They all seem very genuinely interested and really want to help.
Yeah, you almost form a bond with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They exchange their cards, but they're very responsive. If you send an email, they respond back.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something down the road, they'll remember mm-hmm. and get back to you. Some of the people I've seen every year, the same staff people.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize them, you know them, you say, how are you mm-hmm. doing? And yeah, it's really a positive, great experience.
And some of them move from one office to another, and suddenly they can help you in another congressman's office.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know that, Melissa's, we ask people in Washington to help on our initiatives, like the ALS Research Project and the Registry, but you've also, and our other caregivers, have gotten support from them on other local things, right?
Yes, we've gone even just to the local offices. I've gone with other pals to advocate just locally for things where they meet and hear their story. I really think, you know, a lot of people, when they hear you're going to go up on the hill and meet directly with congressmen or reps, it can be intimidating or feel very nerve-wracking. And I'll admit, I think every year, like the first meeting, I'm always a little nervous too. But they are so welcoming, and they're human too. I mean, I would say about half my meetings, usually they know someone either personally or a former staff member had a family member. You know, it just builds awareness, us getting out there and talking to them about ALS and asking a lot of the meetings we've had reps that then come to our walks locally mm-hmm. and things like that. So it can definitely have an impact.
Yeah, I can think of a few people who've come to our Hershey Clinic, who've come to mm-hmm. the Hershey and Lehigh Valley and Greater Philadelphia walks. One state rep has cut the ribbon at the Bloomsburg walk, mm-hmm. so they get involved in a lot of ways.
That's great.
But so we know that it can be a daunting experience for the first time for mm-hmm. a lot of people, even if they've gone multiple times. But hopefully national, the ALS Association helps prepare you. What's the whole experience like? Because it's not just you go down and have some meetings. What's the experience like from a patient family perspective?
Well, there's a whole host of activities going on when we go down there.
Mm-hmm.
They have the marketplace where we can see products and services from suppliers and learn about what's new in technology. There's several seminars where we can learn about research mm-hmm. and what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
We meet with members of our chapter and the people, which is to get ready to go in,
mm-hmm.
which is very positive.
Mm-hmm.
And
hopefully it's pretty well organized.
Oh, it's very well organized.
It is.
It's great.
We have a complete schedule.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, it's just like, tell me where to be and I'll be there.
And they usually have a great kind of 101 session to prepare you
yeah.
for what the asks are for the specific year and for the meetings. They also always offer a 1-on-1 for people that are new, first-time
yeah.
advocates,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and really help support you. And I think our chapter, especially the Philadelphia chapter, we do a really good job to focus on hand-holding, for lack of a better word, the new people. We always recommend for people that are coming for the first time, if you're able to prepare kind of your write up or
mm-hmm.
type up your story so you have something, because sometimes when you're in there in the moment, you're a little nervous. It's also emotional. I mean, this is real life that we're talking mm-hmm. about, and it can be difficult. And it's also nice, a lot of people have done this, which I think is really powerful, is to have a leave behind. You know, like with your story right up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking even if it's one or two paragraphs. You don't have to write a book.
Right.
And some pictures or whatever if you're just meeting with the staff members, to pass on to the congressman so they can see these are our constituents. These are real people living in our area and facing these challenges.
Yeah, I know that we've found stories from people who are constituents, because we have between 40 and 50 people that come down from our chapter to DC, which is great, but that there's districts where it's hard for people to come from, you know, if they're from,
yeah.
we do have a couple that come from Scranton, but that's a far drive,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, but if they couldn't come, we'd get their story and bring it to their congressman and say, this person wanted to come,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a difference. This year, our priorities are the ALS Registry and the ALS Research Project at the Department of Defense, getting those funded at $10 million each. And passing the Steve Gleason Act for speech generating devices.
Yeah, that's new this year, right?
It's new this mm-hmm. year to help make sure that people can own their devices instead of being rented, and also so they can have them unlocked, which is very important.
To access the internet.
And also passing the Dormant Therapies Act, which used to be the Modern Cures Act. And they just,
okay.
some of that had passed before, and now mm-hmm. it's, which is good, so we're making progress on those things. And Melissa and I were just talking a minute ago that the Steve Gleason Act is now part of the budget bill in the U.S. Senate, which is great news.
Yeah,
that happened great. 5 minutes before we got into your house. So,
wow.
We'd like to take credit, but I think it had Larry very little to do with us parking in front of your house. But we've seen some victories, especially since
yeah.
you started. What's it like knowing that you went and something happened?
Well, I think it's been very positive that really, every year we've gone, we've gotten what we've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily every dollar we asked for,
mm-hmm.
but every program that we ask for gets enacted,
mm-hmm.
which is makes us feel great.
Yeah.
And do you feel now that you've seen some of the same people, whether it's you seeing them, because you don't always go to the same meetings. You usually go to your district representative, but sometimes I send you to someone else because we got to have someone go see Lou Barletta. But do you find that in subsequent meetings, people know the cause more after years of being there?
I really think so, yes. Because some of the people we have seen year after year in the same offices,
mm-hmm.
and there's definitely awareness. I think this year with the Ice Bucket Challenge having happened, that the awareness that raised is just amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of the reps staff have done it, the Ice Bucket Challenge themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I'm curious to see if the reaction is any different. Or, I mean, I do agree with you, Steve, that I feel like they do know us. Kind of, they see us coming with all our red ALS
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But they are, and I see a difference just in the 6 years, the mm-hmm. awareness for sure. And the things that have happened just in the time that I've been here, that when I first came, there was no ALS registry, and now mm-hmm. that's up and running. They've added more surveys to it. They've gotten some, you know, they've been able to use it towards research and get some results from it as far as gathering information.
And the ALS registry is a tool that was passed through advocates like the Potters and other friends like Wes mm-hmm. Rose and others from advocates across the country. But that will help people with ALS take surveys and also get some data from Medicare and mm-hmm. other things, so that we can kind of find out who has ALS, not by name, but the kinds of people and the demographics and the background, so that to help facilitate research.
Yes.
And then you're at clinic all the time getting encouraging it too.
Yes, we definitely encourage people and can help them, show them how to access the registry, because it is something that you can go on and then you set up an account and you can go back and forth. You don't have to sit and do it all in one. And they're continually adding surveys. So once you're set up, then you can go back and do additional surveys as they add them
mm-hmm.
With different demographics and things like that. So that's been a big one. The other one that has been really big that had come out of advocacy was the veterans benefits. And that was right when I started. A few months after I started, was just when the veterans became service connected. And since then, it's grown exponentially. I mean, they are now 100% service connected. They're eligible for all these other yeah. programs. So it's been huge. And all of that stemmed from advocating.
And once we have one victory, that means that those more people are more likely to get involved, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that you've seen more people participate, partly because you're able to go to your support groups or clinics and say, you know, we got this done, this happened,
mm-hmm.
let's help get the next thing done.
Yeah, every time we talk about it, I mean, not just advocacy days, but even like the Philadelphia chapter walk, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Philly, but we talk about that kind of thing in our group, and everybody's like, oh, what's that? I didn't know about that. And they really want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have a couple of people from our group. They're in Delaware, our group is, but we might have a couple of people down at advocacy days this year, just, you know, from mm-hmm. talking about it.
Oh, great. We'll make sure they're signed up, can
yeah.
register, because
yeah.
they're at like 80% plus capacity already with
yeah.
all
oh,
the interest
great.
This year.
That's great.
And we still have a month to go until advocacy day.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're getting people from all over our geography. And one thing that you mentioned, and I just came to mind, is that advocacy connects to the clinic, to patient care services, even if we're doing research
mm-hmm.
at DC, and then also that momentum carries forth to our events.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing
right.
we do is really compartmentalized. It's not like advocacy exists
at
here,
all.
And no one on the podcast can see my hand gestures.
But we can.
Yeah.
But it's not like they all just exist on their own thing, right? So,
right.
so you
right.
see the momentum of one thing, whether it's advocacy, encouraging people to do the walk, or patient or the clinics leading people to do research.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that collaboration works in any of that respect, like how it affects events and things like that.
I think people want to get involved at one level or another.
Mm-hmm.
If they hear about advocacy days, but they can't do it because it's too hard to travel or something, but they can do the walk in Philly because
mm-hmm.
that's just a, you know, a few hours
local.
Of their time. It's local. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people just want to be involved at least in something.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the fact that there are so many different events is really great.
And you're not just talking about people with ALS. You're talking about all people affected.
Oh yeah.
Friends,
we have
family,
friends and
coworkers.
Family who are behind us on just about everything that we get involved with.
Yeah. It's we have great. A pretty large group of friends that support us in
mm-hmm.
everything that we do, as far as the walk and some other events
mm-hmm.
that we do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come with us to advocacy days, but they're certainly behind us in spirit
mm-hmm.
and glad
yeah.
that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably do so many things that help your advocacy efforts, even if they're not down in D.C.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important to have that support group, right?
Yes.
So whether it's through us or it's like the community.
Yes, it's very important, and that's what we always try to encourage people from the moment of diagnosis, really, that as, you know, as the Philadelphia chapter, we're here to walk this journey with you, so we are part of your support system,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, some people have really large support systems and lots of friends and family, and others may not have that, or others may have a church community or something, you know, but any way that we can help support all of that, you know, and that's what we always say too, which I think Tony started out with. ALS doesn't just affect the person that's diagnosed, it's their whole family and everyone.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And our role really is to help support everyone with that.
And like you said, we're part of the support system. So it's not like you as a social worker or Gail as a nurse at the Penn Clinic, it's not like they create the support system. The people that work at the ALS Association are just as connected a lot of the time. You've become friends, obviously, with Stephen and Charlotte. But so it's a very personal thing, even for the staff.
It definitely does, because we're all human, and it just you naturally. I mean, even with Stephen and Charlotte, we've gotten to know each other just from going to advocacy every year. Like, I'm not technically your social worker, but I still, you know, and that's just the way it. It's the way it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just easy when we're all fighting the same battle to kind of instantly form a bond with each other.
Definitely.
Not just the other patients, but
yeah.
everybody who's in this fight with us. And I mean, it's awesome. We can't thank you guys enough for all the support we get from you.
Yeah, obviously the diagnosis of ALS is a very tough one for everybody involved. But we started participating in with the chapter right away, and we involved our friends right away, and we really lived with it and are fighting together for it, and the support we get from the ALS Association has been fantastic.
Well, I hope so. I have to say, I started here partly because my grandfather had passed away from ALS, but then I came here and realized that from the executive director and president down to, and I don't want to say down to, but the people who process the donations, everyone feels like part of that same community that Melissa was talking about. Like, everyone cares about getting the ultimate job done.
Right, which is to put you guys out of a job.
Yes, I would love that.
Find the cure.
I was saying on another podcast, I'm sure if we got a cure for ALS, that would be great for our jobs, because who wouldn't want to hire everyone at the ALS Association?
Yeah, it'd make us look good, right?
The best job security would be to get us out of a job. Right?
Yeah.
So, You found that community here and about people that care, but it's more intimate at the chapter level. Do you see that the same at the national level too, with all those, you know, the Steve Gibson, Pat Wildman? Maybe you haven't talked to them as much, but the people that are there at the national office setting it up, I think they do a pretty good job of organizing too.
Oh, I think so too. I definitely think so. I haven't spoken to any one person at Advocacy Days, no matter where they're from, that isn't, you just get that instant connection. You know, there's such compassion between patients, people who work for the chapters, and caregivers. We're all fighting the same fight.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a big sense of, like, you feel like we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Even when, I mean, it's such a powerful feeling when you're walking those halls and these historic buildings and you're going by, and you go by people that are with ALS, and you may not know them, but you're always saying hello.
Yeah, I see people who are from the Connecticut chapter, and I'm like, oh, how do your meetings go? Or I'm sitting in the Longworth building with the South Carolina people, and we're talking about them. And I'm like, I was down in D.C. for the fly-in day, and when we're all back, I was like, so is this the part where we talk about the congressman we don't like? So, okay, I won't. But it's nice to, because you're not going to see people from all those states generally, right?
Right. Yeah.
So have you seen now with the Ice Bucket Challenge happened, Steve Gleason has brought ALS to the forefront. Have you seen a lot more awareness of people to understand it generally than you did when you started 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 8 years ago, people often just kind of gave you a blank look when you talked about ALS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we would have done that, but, you know, before his diagnosis. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what it was, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you think that will be that people are more successful at getting things done because people know about it more? Like, people are more likely to get involved?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, just from our friends, every year we kind of find more people who want to get involved and help us out, or, I mean, just join us at the walk. But the awareness is big, you know. And I think every year we do have a bigger team. And, you know, I'm just speaking on a very small level. But we do have a bigger team. We have more people who want to get involved and, you know, raise a lot of money.
So if you want to get involved, like all the people that are helping with Steve and Charlotte's team, you can donate or volunteer at www.alsphiladelphia.org. You can join a walk team at www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org and go to one of our 7 walks. Last year, over 15,000 people joined one of our 7 walks, and that's not counting the other tens of thousands of people across the country. And that's gpcwalktodefeatals.org for Greater Philadelphia Chapter. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and everything at alsphiladelphia.org. And if you want to join us for to be an advocate in Washington, D.C., there's still a little bit of time left to sign up. It's May 10th to 12th, and that is at www.alsa.org/advocacy. And you can learn about Advocacy Day there, find out a little bit more about how you can get involved virtually as well, and encourage other people to come. Of course, you can email myself, tony@alsphiladelphia.org, or talk to melissa@alsphiladelphia.org, or anyone else you know involved. I want to go back to one of our priorities in Washington this year, which is new. The first time we've done this is the Steve Gleason Act. And we're excited, like I said, that it's moving forward, progressing faster than most legislation we've had to deal with. And Washington is not a place where things move quickly, usually. But the Steve Gleason Act is important because it's going to help people keep speech-generating devices. And Melissa, you probably work with more people that have this issue than Steve and Charlotte, because obviously Steve is talking since he's on this podcast. and Charlotte's talking, obviously. So tell us a little bit about why this act is so important. And then if you guys, Steve and Charlotte, could talk about like your experience, because you've met a lot of people and you've seen how important this is, both through life and the walk and also in D.C.,
so the speech-generating devices that are often required for many people that are living with ALS through recent Medicare guidelines, which happened around May last year, it was right around advocacy last year, they had new guidelines put out that you could no longer own your device. You would have to rent it. And if there was any they considered a life change, which you can't see me making a quote, such as going in the hospital or going on hospice, something like this, then they took the device back. So as you can imagine, someone living with ALS, they may be in the hospital for a week with pneumonia and come back home.
Really, just for that week, that would just ruin everything.
You'd start back to square one with the process of getting a speech-generating device.
And what's that process like? I'm sorry. Because I've seen, not that I look over your shoulder, but there's a lot of paperwork you guys do to get things done for people.
There is a lot of paperwork involved, and they create these devices specifically, depending on which device it is, specifically for each person. So it's an involved process, and it just would be a headache when this device is the sole source of communication for many of these people, and how they communicate not only with their caregivers or family, but with anyone in the world. So one of the other parts is that when Tony had referred earlier to part of the Medicare guideline is that they remain locked. These devices also remain locked, so they're not able to access the internet. So just to give a little scenario, if you have a daughter or sister living in California and you're in Pennsylvania, you wouldn't be able to Skype with them with your only source of communication because you can't access the internet with it because it has to remain locked. So there, you know, and a lot of these, how they came up with these new guidelines were based on old data from prior to even the technology that exists now, from like 2009, I believe.
So anyway, many of our patients would be affected by it here and across the country.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And this is so important.
And it's not just that they can't access the internet to see someone in another state, which is important, but I mean, we rely on the internet more and more for everything, and you need a device to communicate. You might need the internet to communicate from the bathroom to the other room.
Yeah.
If you have an iPad, I was talking to Elisa Browning on an earlier podcast, which you can find on our website and or on iTunes, and you can hear Elisa talk about how people might need their iPad for everything and not being able to connect online. that's a big hindrance.
It's essentially a lifeline for a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. And then with these guidelines, they're not able to access it. Or if they have hit a bump in the road of having to go in the hospital, then they don't have it.
Right.
So it's a real problem. It's a real challenge that we need to rectify.
Well, the new legislation really makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We need to get that passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys had said that when you first started, you were surprised about someone that used their speech-generating device to tell their story.
Yeah.
So you've seen this in action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's powerful.
And you've seen that how important this is for other people with ALS then.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen it, too, with people who lose the ability to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have speech generating devices,
mm-hmm.
and watch them struggling to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Yeah,
it really is.
So that's one of the things that's encouraging to me is the people with ALS and others like yourselves who may not have the same exact condition, but you're out there fighting for other people than yourself. Because a lot of the things that you're doing aren't going to benefit you.
Oh, right. It's with a fast moving disease and. As long as it's been around, I mean, it's almost 140 years
mm-hmm.
since it was identified. And the research lately has been moving fast compared to before. But we're definitely working for the future
mm-hmm.
and future patients.
Yeah. And that research picked up as soon as you guys all got involved.
Yeah, it was us.
So good job.
Take credit.
Yeah.
So take all the credit you can.
Yeah, I think my mom called and said, you guys do this.
They should have called you earlier. So we know you guys are going to D.C. soon, and but you're also involved in the walk. What are you looking forward to in 2015? Because last year was a pretty substantial year, a significant year for the fight against ALS. But what's your hope and your thing you're looking forward to in 2015?
Our hope, and I don't know if it's realistic, is that something like the Ice Bucket Challenge could happen again
mm-hmm.
and go viral.
Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that momentum keeps going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see August be declared Ice Bucket Challenge Month.
That would be ALS. That's a great idea.
I mean, well, we heard a minute ago about how research picked up just as soon as you got involved, so why can't that happen?
Yeah, snap, snap. I'll make that happen.
But, you know, if Oprah could do it last year, why can't Oprah do it again?
Right?
She had the time. And are you looking forward to any other events or causes or things?
Well, of course, we're looking forward to the walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a great day.
Mm-hmm.
We always have a good time. There's the Phillies Fest.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good time.
Which is on June 1st this year. Look for ticket sales soon.
Okay.
For the Phillies Festival.
Thanks for that. What else? We do some dinners, some local dinners,
mm-hmm.
and raise some money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a good time, too.
Yeah.
There's so many events.
For the last 5 years, Ryan's Pub here in Westchester has done a golf outing for ALS.
Oh,
and that's been very successful. And that's a lot of fun for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
We get involved in organizing a little bit, helping raise money for whole sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the event, and it's...
we go to the party afterwards.
Well, and just like it's encouraging when people listen to you and finally do what you want them to do with advocacy, it's encouraging when you set up an event and people show up and they do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and last year, probably partly because of the Ace Parking Challenge, was the first year they completely sold out the event.
Wow. And this will be the second year they completely sold
out.
Yes. Yeah.
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 And Melissa, what are you looking forward to in 2015? Obviously, the Ice Bucket Challenge is a big one, so they took your answer.
I'm looking forward to advocacy. I know we have some new folks coming this year, so... one of our newer staff members is coming, and I just remember my first time going, just feeling so inspired and wowed by the whole experience. And I feel like every year when I go, it's that way. So that's one of the big ones that I love, and the Phillies Festival is always a fun one, too.
It is always fun when you see people who are doing advocacy, or a walk even, for the first time, right?
Yeah.
You can encourage them. You can motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
That you've seen a lot of new people I see a lot of new people every year for Advocacy Day because, like I said, we usually have a few dozen people. It's not 1,000 from our chapter,
mm-hmm.
thankfully, because that would be hard. But it's a bittersweet because there's people who can't come each year that came the year before. But
mm-hmm.
it's also nice to see people who are stepping up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is bittersweet for sure. Or people that you miss, they're not with us anymore, that were big advocates for us, or you see their families.
But we have seen some members of Congress who remember those people.
Yes, we have.
We had one meeting last year with Congressman Matt Cartwright, who he had attended the funeral of a person with ALS just the few months before. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone that can connects a disease like that, you say, well, can you sign? You already did. Can you sign on to this? You already did. So, you know, we want all our meetings to go like that for everybody.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
And then we had another Congressman, Mike Fitzpatrick, who read somebody's story into the Congressional Record afterwards. So,
wow.
You know, you create connection. I mean, yeah. Looking at you guys, you can't tell on the podcast, but it's, you create impressions that last far beyond your 5 minutes or 10 minutes meeting with that person.
Definitely.
That's very powerful.
It is.
So, well, we hope that everyone can get involved, whether it's going to D.C., whether it's going to Harrisburg or Trenton or Dover, Delaware, or if you're in another state and wherever you're at, because there's a lot of ways to get involved. Again, contact me, Tony, at ALSPhiladelphia.org, or visit us at or register at www.alsa.org/advocacy. Is there anything else you guys are encouraged about this year you want to say before we turn off the podcast?
I just would like to say that if anybody is thinking about going to advocacy days, but they're kind of on the fence, go. It's just so great. It's such a positive vibe. Mm-hmm. And you need to get your story out there to help yourself and to help people who can't get there or who can't speak for themselves. It's so worthwhile. It'll make you feel great. So just get out there and do it.
Yeah,
I agree. You get a lot more out of it than what you give. Don't you think? I mean, yeah. You really do.
Yes.
And it's nice to see that it's what you get. Like you said, you're going to hopefully get the millions of dollars for research, but it's that positive experience for you that keeps you coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great experience.
All right, well, I'll keep working on that. Make sure you keep having that positive experience.
No, I have no doubt we will.
And if you don't have a positive experience, let us know, and Melissa can get people to beat them up. That's in the book. Well, thanks everyone for being part of the podcast. And like I said, get involved today. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, all at ALSPhiladelphia.org. Donate, advocate, participate. And thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Potters for being an inspiration and continuing to advocate.